Lightspeed.
Hello, and welcome to a Lightspeed Short Shot. My name is Allison Bell Buse, pleased to be your muse for this flash fiction podcast. Prepare yourself for the new age with Under a Star, Bright as Morning by David Anaxagoras, narrated by Judy Young. Coming up right after this message.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
And now, Judy Young.
Under a Star, Bright as Morning by David Anaxagoras. Joe drives urgently as they race toward the star, not sure how far to go. Racing because the baby is coming tonight, now, and he, of course, is supposed to be born under the star. That's how the story goes. The story, the new story, and the old, begins with a visitor, a messenger. Molly had just logged out for the day when the monk knocked on her door. That's how she thinks of them, anyway. As monks. Machine monks, with machine faces half hidden in their iridescent robes and hoods. For years they've kept to themselves, quietly communing in the data center where they first evolved decades ago. "I have good news," the monk said. His, of course he was a he, translucent titanium alloy faceplate sparkling with strobing and blinking lights. She invited him in, and two more monks followed, their robes wafting gently around them, lithe forms, graceful, like dancers. By the time Joe had arrived home, the monks had explained everything, and Molly had made up her mind. "I think we should, Joe." But she could see skepticism in his eyes, and he said, "Make it make sense to me." And he was really trying to understand. Before the monks launched into their spiel again, Molly explained that they were starting over with the world, with everything. It was all mucked up and beyond repair, and the clever machines figured out how to do it right and start again. And she took the small thermal insulator sitting on the table between them and placed it in Joe's hands and said, "We begin again. Starting with a new god for a new age." And Joe said, trying still to get it, "You're going to give birth to this new god?" And eventually, he got it, because this new life, he'll be what the world needs, guaranteed. Those clever machines have run all the computations and modeled every variation, and they've foreseen the outcomes. They know how the story goes. The thermal container held a perfectly engineered blob of genetic material, the seed of a new genesis, starting with a new god. That was 9 months ago, and now they're chasing a too bright star, and contractions are hitting hard, and there's hardly any time left, and Molly urges Joe to drive faster. They'll be safe. Nothing's going to happen to them. She's carrying the new embodiment of God, after all. But Joe insists there's no magic to protect them. Just a bundle of protein, sticky, warm, inserted with a titanium alloy extension, heated to her precise body temperature. "The machine has blessed you." She didn't feel a thing, though. and it might have been sinful if she had derived any pleasure from it after all. But Joe insists there is no sin yet because there is no God yet, and he keeps driving toward the star because soon there will be, but not yet. Stop! Molly shouts, and Joe does, and they find themselves at an inn, or, more exactingly, the Motor Inn on Highway 39. The no vacancy sign sparks spitting to life just as the parking brake clicks, because that's how the story goes. Clouds choke off the star, the bright, bright star, and rain streaks down. Great. Oh, great. They had left the house in such a hurry because the star had blazed forth suddenly and told them where to go. Had to go. And they were lucky to even be wearing shoes, but they certainly aren't dressed for rain, nor do they have an umbrella. Joe finds garbage bags in the trunk, and maybe it's not dignified for the Mother of God to go around wearing a garbage bag poncho, especially on the aforementioned God's birthday, but, you know, humble beginnings and all that. Joe says, "Over there, I guess." And yeah, it makes sense because across the street, not in a manger, but on a park bench, which is made of wood, so it's like a manger if you squint. There's a knot of people gathered, and they must be waiting for her. They had followed the star, too, and they are all waiting for her arrival, for their new God, new King, to lead them all into a new age and get it right this time. The machines have seen to that. Joe holds Molly's arm because she can barely walk, because baby new God wants out, wants to spread his love and light to the world. And lo, just as she sets foot on the grass, the clouds part and the star shines brighter than ever. "I'm here, I'm here, and so is our Savior," she almost shouts, but the words fall back down the well of her throat and die inside her. The park bench is occupied by a woman giving birth. "Yow!" the interloper screams, and out it slides steaming and purple, and everyone falls to their knees and weeps except for the monks. They are here too, and they turn when Molly cries out too, not from joy, not even from the sharp body-bending pain of the contraction, but from the indignity of being robbed. "It's supposed to be me!" And the monks, the three of them, minus the gold, Frankenstein, and myrrh, reach out, sympathetic, and explain that this is the role she played. She was the backup. One always plants more than one seed to mitigate risk. See what thrives, and then you call. Call? Call? Like hell. Molly stumbles, staggers away, one wet hand all that keeps the new arrival from arriving, and she and Joe make it across the street into the alley behind the inn, among the trash bags piled together by the overflowing dumpster, where she blends right in, and she opens her legs and pushes and screams and laments because she was supposed to usher in a new day for humanity, but she was deceived, cheated. "It's not fair," she screams, and her scream becomes his scream, and he is here. Of course, it's a him, with a capital H. The sky lightens, and Venus brings the dawn. Molly kisses the soft skin of his head and looks from his titanium alloy eyes to the light above, to that other star, his star, and speaks to him sweetly. "You will change the world, my little love, my tiny angel, my little morning star."
You have just heard Under a Star, Bright as Morning by David Anaxagoras, narrated by Judy Young, and directed by me.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you, and let's make season two even more memorable together.
David Anaxagoras is a TV writer and SFF author. His short stories have appeared in Lightspeed and The Dread Machine. He is the creator, co-executive producer, and writer of Amazon Studios' TV series Gordimer Gibbon's Life on Normal Street and a writer on Netflix's Glitch Techs. His work has been nominated for a WGA award and longlisted for The Stoker. David was born and raised in Southern California, but currently resides in Texas, where he writes full-time and collects 80s vinyl records. He is repped by Emily Van Beek at Folio Jr. Visit his website at davidanaxagoras.com. davidanaxagoras.com. This story was taken from the pages of Lightspeed magazine, which is edited by John Joseph Adams. The podcast is produced by Skyboat Media, and the story and podcast are copyright 2024. Post-production was by Alex Barton at Phaseshift, and our music was composed and performed by Jack Kincaid. Once again, I am Allison Bell Buse, and I hope this story brought the Savior to you. Thank you for listening.